Chapter 24. Never trust a demon. Anastasia felt ecstatic and ready to take on anyone and anything. Human blood did that to her. Every time, after a fresh kill, her body felt as if transformed into a bigger, better killing machine, and with no force or no one standing in her way, it made her demon self feel indestructible. Shortly after sunset, she left Blind Bluff Manor, ready to gorge on as much fresh blood as possible. She had to be healthy for the plan to work, or in case it backfired. By the time she finished with her human meal, she made her way to a nearby rooftop of a building across the street from Ollie's warehouse, scaring the human mercenary who also waited alongside Remy, Maris, Aiden, and Kenneth. Anastasia eyed the human, still wary of the Brotherhood's involvement. The mercenary, dressed in all black military garb, holding a walkie-talkie, moved off to the side with his eyes focused on the building. She placed her foot on the ledge and rested her hands on her knee, taking in the scent of the nearby Mississippi River mixed with wet pavement and rotting trash. In the distance, she heard the engines of cars driving over a bridge above the river. Remy leaned close to her with his mouth close to her ear. "You've fed." Anastasia licked her lips. "Have you?" He chuckled slightly. She looked forward. If their plan in killing Maris and Aiden faltered in any way, she knew Remy wouldn't hesitate to go to Plan B, which meant leaving Minneapolis altogether, with or without Nathan. She was determined that the plan wouldn't fail, even if it meant her death. A static voice came over the mercenary's radio, and he replied back with a 10-4. He placed the radio in his pocket. "Everyone's in place, Mr. Deerhorn." Wearing a dark suit and tie with a trench coat, Kenneth straightened his clothing, and he stood up straight. "Nathan said that you have the piece," he said to Anastasia. She eyed him carefully. "Do you think he's dumb enough to trust you with it?" She patted her coat pocket. "I have a fake." She held out her hand to Aiden. "Give the amulet to me." Aiden refused. "Are you going to give it to her, or should we make you give it to her?" Sensing the commotion, Remy joined in. Aiden pulled out the green amulet and placed it in Anastasia's palm. "What's that?" Kenneth asked. "An amulet that protects the wearer from demon," Aiden answered. Kenneth shook his head in disgust. "There's nothing in the world that can do that." Anastasia wrapped her left arm around Kenneth's waist and she stood on the ledge of the building. She heard his heart race for a moment before she stepped off and safely landed with him on the pavement below. She scanned the area for a moment and lifted her head. From where they stood, she could still smell Mr. Austin's scent, along with Kai's and the other demon being held. However, she didn't pick up the scents of either Lucius or Celine. She walked toward the front door, opened it, and walked inside with Kenneth following her. The sanctuary was vastly silent and emptied of any humans, not like the first time Anastasia walked in. The assembly lines, once filled with human workers, now sat motionless. She headed for the elevator just as Kenneth grasped her arm. "If you do anything to double-cross me or the Brotherhood, there will be consequences," he whispered. "Your threats don't scare me." She wrestled her arm away from his grasp, and she placed her finger over her mouth. "Now shut up." With her demon ears zeroing in, they stepped into the elevator. The metal doors closed and it began its descent below. Kenneth gripped his long trench coat and he cleared his throat. "They can smell your nervousness from a mile away," she whispered to him. "I'm not nervous," he whispered back. The elevator stopped and the doors slowly opened, still vast with a towering ceiling. The basement of the warehouse now smelled of a mixture of demon. Anastasia stepped out of the elevator and she waited, her eyes scanning the grated walkway and the four cages on her right and the four cages to her left. "They know we're here," she whispered to him. The last time she'd stepped foot in the basement, Lucius showed her the cages containing demon. Now they were all empty except for one. She walked up to one cage, seeing a female sitting with her back toward them. The woman looked over her shoulder and immediately Anastasia sensed her age. She placed her hand on the glass. "Kira," she whispered. "That's Kyra?" Kenneth questioned. "Yes." They heard Lucius's voice. Dressed in a long tan shirt with black jeans, Lucius stood firm with dark, penetrating eyes. Along with his scent, Anastasia also smelled the blood of the Pure Ones running through his veins at alarming speed. Celine stood next to him, wearing a long black dress, with her carrot-coloured hair pulled back in a ponytail. "That's a nice setup you have going on back there." Kenneth pointed to the cages. "I didn't think this was all that serious, Celine." Ignoring his statement, Celine growled at Anastasia. "Why did you bring her here?" She rushed at Anastasia, and in one movement, Celine pinned her to the floor. Her black eyes widened, and she snarled. "I'm not here to fight." Anastasia felt Celine's hardened grip on her chest. "Then what did you come here for?" Kenneth spoke up. "She helped me find the piece of the dark curse you've been looking for." Anastasia jumped to her feet, pulled out the fake piece from her pocket, and handed it to Kenneth. "I hope our deal still stands." Holding the piece, Kenneth extended his hand to Celine. Lucius eyed it and said in exhilaration, "That's it. Now it's complete." Celine relaxed, but her eyes remained on Anastasia. At that moment, Anastasia felt her head beginning to throb and a sharp sensation overtake her thoughts. It brought her to her knees and her eyesight began to fail. The pain travelled down her spine to her feet and suddenly she felt paralysed. Kenneth stepped back. "We have a deal, Celine." "Yes." Celine snatched the piece from him and she examined it carefully. Anastasia, on the other hand, isn't part of it. "Fine by me," Anastasia grunted, "but I wouldn't be so quick to kill me now." Just then, Anastasia felt the pain subside and her eyesight return to normal. Her legs wobbled as she struggled to stand back on her feet. Pulling a rule from Remy's handbook, she replied with a snicker, "I have something else that might help you, and if you want it, you have to play nice." "What do you have that we would want?" She reached in her pocket. "This." She pulled out the amulet and held it out in front of her. "If you want it, take it." She watched as Celine's eyes twitched at the sight of the amulet in front of her. Lucius also slowly crept forward. Anastasia expected one of them to grab it and for the amulet to take effect and do what it was created to do. It was the first step in Remy's plan, and so far, it was working perfectly. But what she didn't know was that Kenneth would bluntly betray her. "Touch it, and it'll kill you," he yelled out to them. Anastasia quickly pushed Kenneth to the ground. In demon speed, Lucius rushed her and his movement proved too fast for her, making her jump slightly at his now up-and-close presence. "Is that your goal, Anastasia?" Lucius whispered to her. "To kill us?" "She told me that it protects whoever wears it from demon." Kenneth swallowed hard and he raised himself up to his feet. "Why are you doing this?" Lucius grabbed Anastasia's wrist and squeezed. "I don't want to kill you, but you're giving me no other choice." The pressure made Anastasia wobble, and she tried to stay on her feet. Suddenly they heard the front door to the warehouse blast open and the frantic footsteps of mercenaries heading toward the elevator. Above, the small basement windows shattered, and she witnessed multiple movements in the dark. The human mercenaries, all dressed in black, began to crawl through the shattered windows, gripping automatic machine rifles and wooden stakes. Seeing the humans carrying guns was almost enough to make Anastasia snicker while still in pain. Bullets hurt their kind, but it wasn't enough to fear them. The sounds also echoed from the mercenary's radio, and he screamed back into it, "Team 456, move in!" A blast rang out, and Anastasia watched as bullets slammed into Celine and Lucius. Before she could react, she felt a sharp pain in her right shoulder, followed by another pain in her back. She fell to the ground next to Lucius, who dropped his tablet piece, the real piece, to the floor. More shots rang out, and Kenneth picked up the piece, stuffing it into his pocket. "Did you really think I'd make a deal with Demon?" He turned and yelled out to the mercenaries flooding the room. Anastasia attempted to get up, but Kenneth's foot connected with her midsection, knocking her back to the floor. You're all evil demons who need to be dealt with. Anastasia heard more shots whizzing by her head and body. She managed to look up, seeing Kenneth running for the elevator, passing several mercenaries headed in her direction. Lucius stood to his feet, and he slammed his hand into the chest of the one mercenary, killing him in his tracks. She felt more slugs rip through her flesh, and she watched Saline, still lying on the floor, being riddled with bullets. She gathered her strength again and raised herself up from the floor just in time to place her hand around a mercenary's neck, snapping it. Anastasia reached Saline and knelt beside her. "This is what your behavior, your blind judgment has done." She felt another bullet enter her lower back and she hissed, "You've started a war?" Gripping the amulet in her hand, she raised it, preparing to place it over Celine's heart. "A war is exactly what we need." A trickle of blood poured from Celine's mouth. "Get away from me." With her right foot, she kicked Anastasia hard in her abdomen, and Anastasia found herself airborne, landing several feet away on her back. She immediately stood up, watching helplessly, as Celine, now on her feet, joined Lucius in his slaughter. Just then, Anastasia heard Remy speak behind her. "And they say never trust a demon." She turned around, watching Remy wipe the dust and dirt from his white, crisp t-shirt. "Where are the others?" "Killing mercenaries, outside. They'll be in shortly." "We were stupid to let Aiden open his mouth to Kenneth about the amulet." "What happened?" "He told them before I could act. When the mercenaries came in, he ran off with the piece Lucius had."
"Well, that's a shame." Remy grinded his teeth.
"Veronica's father is in the back. We have to get him out of here." Anastasia pointed to a room near the far back. Kai is there also. Over the noise of shooting and screaming, they heard the elevator door open. Anastasia watched as Maris and Aiden walked out slowly. Upon seeing Kyra, Aiden ran up to the cage.
"Go!"
Anastasia pushed Remy away. "I'll handle them myself for now." A bullet grazed Maris's right arm. She stared at her wound before her fangs dropped from her gums, and she rushed in demon speed toward three mercenaries who continued to fire at her. She sank her fangs into the face of one of them while she reached to her right and left, slamming the remaining two mercenaries into each other.
"I have a better idea."
Remy grabbed the amulet from Anastasia and he rushed off toward the back room. She took off after him, jumping over the bodies of dead and dying humans as she angrily called out his name. He was going for Kai, to kill him, and that wasn't part of the plan. He broke through the office door and he paused in the entryway at Veronica's father, who remained chained against the wall. Anastasia pushed him inside and began to free Mr. Austin. Gawking at Kai's unlucky situation, Remy walked around the desk, staring at him staked to the top of the wooden desk. "They really had some fun with you." He admired Kai's gruesome state.
"Our plan is to free Veronica's father," Anastasia said.
I know. Can I just stir in the moment?" Continuous sounds of human screams coming from the commotion outside of the office didn't persuade Remy to move a step faster. Instead, he took his time. He snagged at one stake embedded in Kai's stomach, yanking it free. Kai screeched in agony, distracting Anastasia from Veronica's father. He positioned the amulet an inch away from Kai's heart. "You killed Veronica's mother." Kai spat, and a glob of spit mixed with blood landed on his cheek. In return, Remy smacked him across the face.
"Remy, if you're going to kill him, do it now."
Anastasia turned her attention to Mr. Austin. She cocked her head, noticing that his right hand was missing and the nub wrapped in a blood-soaked towel. She easily freed him from his chains. His weak body, caked with blood, fell forward and she caught him, placing him over her shoulder. Remy slowly wiped the spit from his cheek and he clutched onto Kai's neck. "Patience is a virtue."
"Remy?"
"All right. Fine." He walked over to Mr. Austin. He proceeded to slap his forehead, getting the old man's attention. When Mr. Austin opened his heavy eyes, he placed his hand underneath his chin and turned his head in Kai's direction. "He needs to see this.
He walked back to Kai. This amulet is supposed to protect the wearer from demon. I wonder if it acts just like a stake. He placed the amulet over Kai's chest, and he stepped back, watching Kai scream and gasp in pain. With his eyes widened, Kai grasped at the amulet, trying to toss it off his body, but he was unable to do so. Just then the skin underneath the amulet began to turn dark. His eyes rolled into the back of his head, and his arms turned into dust, followed by his legs, his torso, and eventually his head. Blood pooled onto the floor, and the amulet, now sizzling, fell to the floor.
Wow, I didn't expect that.
Remy grabbed the amulet from the floor. It looked pretty painful.
Remy, Anastasia whispered, we have to go, now.
Remy poked at Kai's sizzling remains.
Yeah, it's time to go.
They walked out of the office. Get him out of here. She handed Mr. Austin over to Remy, and in return, he handed her the amulet. The plan was back on track. Now she needed to use it against Celine and Lucius before they gained the upper hand. Little did she know that Celine headed straight for them. She looked around, watching as Lucius continued to strike down the human mercenaries, while Aiden remained near Kyra's cage, trying to free her. She then felt a hard blow to her back, which pushed her to the floor and onto her stomach. Cold hands lifted her to her feet, and she found herself airborne again, landing against the wall and barely missing a stack of pallets by inches. The amulet flew from her grasp, landing nearby. Dazed, she watched Celine push Remy aside, and she reached down, grabbing Mr. Austin by the neck. She lifted him in the air and began to feed. Anastasia shook off her dazed state, and she headed straight for Celine in hopes of stopping her. Instead, Celine dropped the body, grabbed Anastasia in mid-stride and pinned her to the nearest wall. Celine's knee gently pressed up against Anastasia's crotch, lifting her a few inches off the ground. Staring back into Celine's cold dark eyes, Anastasia felt her long Ramanga teeth reveal themselves.
I've waited so long for this moment, Celine replied.
Anastasia continued to struggle, finding Celine's strength hard to overcome.
I don't see what Lucius saw in you, Celine said. You're nothing. You're weak. You can't defeat me.
Anastasia gathered enough strength to push her off her. Celine promptly returned in her attack, grabbing a handful of Anastasia's dark hair and dragging her to the ground. With one hand, she grabbed both of Anastasia's wrists and moved her arms above her head. Anastasia moved her feet, trying to find leverage.
Why not face me when you don't have pure blood in your veins? Anastasia asked to get Celine off her.
Celine's mouth opened and her eyes danced devilishly in the dark. She struck Anastasia across her face, blinding her for a second. That moment was all Celine needed to hastily revert to the office, grab a stake, and return, stabbing Anastasia in her upper left arm near the armpit. The pain caused Anastasia to slightly jerk and grit her teeth. Celine held the stake by her teeth, and she punched at Anastasia's chest, breaking through her sternum. Anastasia felt her bones being pulled back by Celine's grip and the air tickling her now exposed organs. Without delay, her body shut down and grew extremely weak. Her wound throbbed in uncontrollable pain and her eyes fluttered. No demon in existence had ever brought so much pain to her like Celine did now. She opened her mouth, wanting to scream. But she told herself that no one, especially Celine, would hear her call out in torment. She welcomed death, however. She welcomed Celine's death even more. Looking to her right, she saw that Lucius had Maris cornered. Celine took the stake from her mouth, raised it, and Anastasia closed her eyes, waiting for the strike. Celine stopped short, and the sharp edge of the stake pricked Anastasia's heart. A gust of wind blew over them, and Anastasia no longer felt the stake at her flesh. She opened her tired eyes to see Celine's stake now in Remy's hands, deeply embedded into Celine's heart. Anastasia looked at Mr. Austin's still body. She tried to listen for a heartbeat, but heard nothing. Remy, grab the amulet. Get Mr. Austin out of here.
But the plan is not working, Remy yelled back at her. We still have to kill Maris.
Just get him out of here. She watched Remy grunt before he left Celine and headed back to Mr. Austin. He lifted Mr. Austin's body over his shoulder, grabbed the amulet, and rushed in demon speed for the exit. Anastasia slowly stood to her feet, but her body, weakened from Saline's attack, made it almost impossible to walk. She covered her open chest with her hands, and with each step she took, her bones arched out and she lurched forward. Still standing against the wall, Saline grabbed the stake and pulled it from her chest. "Stakes don't harm me anymore." Her wound slowly closed. "Their blood protects me." Anastasia stepped back in awe, watching Saline approach her. Blood curdled in her throat. "You won't win. Not today." Saline struck her across the face and she fell back. For once, Anastasia felt defeated. Remy's plan had dissipated right before her eyes, and without the amulet, there wasn't any way she could take on both Lucius and Saline. A loud explosion from the rear of the room caught their attention, and Anastasia turned to see Maris hitting the wall like a rag doll and Lucius slowly walking toward her. Body parts of mercenaries lay strewn about the room, and blood dotted the concrete walls and floors. Ahead, she saw Aiden had ripped the cage open. He grabbed Kira and dragged her toward the elevator. Anastasia felt a gust of wind and hands that pushed her onto the grated walkway. She regained her focus, watching Lucius twist Maris's arm behind her back and push her to the floor. He then slammed his foot onto her back, keeping her held down. "Eat, Anastasia. I don't want to kill you when you're at your weakest." Anastasia looked over her shoulder at Saline, who stood over her. She crawled forward, and to her right, she grabbed onto the lifeless body of a mercenary. She bit into his thigh and began to suckle. She felt her sternum start to heal, and the pain slowly faded away. Her bones moved back into position, and her skin moved itself back, covering her chest. The dead blood helped a little. She continued drinking as fast as she could, until the flow of blood decreased. Her body filled with little energy, and she stood to her feet, facing Saline. If ever there was an opening to strike Saline, the time was now, even though they weren't prepared for what was to come next. She rushed at Saline again and again. In one hit, Saline sent her on her back. She stood over her, smiling. "This is pathetic," she moved back. "You can do better than this." Anastasia grunted and again she got to her feet. Saline was right. She couldn't win, but she wasn't going to run away with her tail between her legs. She never ran, not from anyone or anything. She was a Ramanga, and she would fight to the death. "You don't have the Dark Curse. You can't free them. It's over, Saline." "Who says we need it when we have her?" Saline looked over her shoulder at Maris. "She doesn't know anything," Anastasia replied, knowing that what she said wasn't the truth. "Oh, we have exactly what we need," Saline said with a smile. "Even with one piece missing, Kira's mind told us how to translate the entire tablet. Maris's blood will allow the gates of Limbo to open, and you," she pointed to Anastasia, "you're going to be the Dark Mother's first meal." Anastasia charged at Saline, only to feel a sharp pain in her stomach, chest, and both legs, which crippled her in mid-stride. She fell and gazed at her body, now riddled with wood fragments. She turned her head to her right, watching what looked like pieces of wood hovering in mid-air. They began to pepper her, striking her in the face and her arms, yet none of them struck her heart. The pieces that remained in the air suddenly dropped to the ground. Anastasia reached into her wound in her upper thigh, attempting to pull out the biggest shard. It burned the tips of her fingers, and she jerked her hand away. She looked up at Saline, who smiled deviously back at her. "Like I said before, you have no idea who you're up against." She placed her hands on her hips. "You can't fight against the power of the gods." She slammed her foot into Anastasia's back. "Face it, you and your friends have lost. All you can do now is embrace the change and welcome the pure ones back to this world with open arms."